Michael Abbey. There's over 300 acres of property. Our backyard is the Cleveland National Forest. They laid the most of the cement for the church and the monastery building for the priests and seminarians. They put in some walls, like double walls with an opening so you could pour cement inside. Okay, so some of those walls have been filled in with cement. The walls are just temporary. In a week, those walls come down, so all you have is the cement. Okay, the walls are meant to hold the cement in place. You can see day by day what's happening, you know, the construction that's going on regarding our new property. You can see that on stmichaelsabbey.com. Okay? They're leveling the ground for the cemetery chapel. They'll be working on that too. Okay, so those are things that are going on the new property. I guess I have another announcement. There was a young man in our parish. I really liked him. This is really sad. He was doing such a good work for the church. His name was Thomas Chamberlain. Anybody know him? Okay. He was in his middle 20s. His family lives in Walnut. That's like over a half hour away. That's by Mount Sac, that area. He checked out maybe 20 different churches until it came down to two churches. The one in Hawaiian Gardens, that's a super parish. And then this one, this is a super parish. And he chose ours. He chose our parish. And he was bringing his parents here. He was bringing friends. He brought a few people back to the church. They came to confession here. He had just bought a big box of chastity book pamphlets that he was handing out to young people. There were a lot of young women that wanted to marry him. You know, he was really buff, you know, handsome and manly. There's so much going on for him. He had joined the Fontana Police Department. They loved him. He had been in, I think, maybe the Marines before that. Just such a bright future. He was dating, what's his name? Oh, gosh. The apologist. The daughter of this... Jesse Romero. He was dating her daughter. Okay. Okay. So, and he was friends with Jesse Romero. Okay. And then on a Friday evening, a friend of his said, "Hey, let's go motorcycle riding." And we don't know what happened, but he died. Just like that. So quick. There were 800 people for the funeral in St. Paul's in Chino Hills. The police came, the Marines came, all these lovely women came. And so that was the only child. And the parents come here, and it was such... a loss. And then the parents, the mom, her dad died, and then the husband, his dad died. And just a few days ago, we found out that the dad has massive tissue, like 2 inches, in his spine. And they may have to do an emergency surgery. Okay, they're doing tests. Supposedly there's hemorrhaging within. They don't know if it's malignant or benign. But there's been a lot of heartaches for these parents, and now this. Okay, so the dad's name is Tom Chamberlain. The son is Thomas. All right. So we're going to stand and pray one Hail Mary. Thomas. Pray that this is not cancer. Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. All the way from Temecula, huh? And I only see one S, sir.
They're not here. We got a flat tire on the way here, so I had to come with the rockers.
A flat tire. Everything's going wrong. Did you all do the homework last week?
Yes.
Did you all do the homework this week? Okay, here we go. Joseph, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father.
And Peter?
Yes, Father Francis.
And Madeline? Joshua? Oh yeah, Claire. James?
Yes, Father Francis.
Mary?
Yes, Father Francis.
And Olivia? Christopher. Madison. Are you Alyssa?
No.
You're Karina. Okay. Did you do the homework?
Yes.
Where's Alyssa? Did she do the homework?
Yes.
And Adriel. Josie. Diego?
He's not going to come.
He's not going to come? Is Liliana going to come? Yeah. All right. Bethany? Huh? Did you do the homework? You did? Really? And Mara, did you do the homework from last week and this week?
We're not really sure. We said what we did last week.
You did last week's.
I think
we did. I'll put down one. Did you get a handout?
No.
Bunch of Bethany, come up and get a handout. Madison, did you get a handout? You got one. Anyone who did not get a handout at the beginning of the year? The first class. I gave one to your brother. So, right, no, he wasn't here. Did you get one? Why don't you come up and get one? But everybody else got one of these first semester handouts. Let's continue. Alex, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
There you are. And Gregory?
Yes, Father Francis.
And Nicholas?
Yes, Father
Francis. Andrew?
Yes, Father Francis.
And Luke? And Sophia? Where did she go? Abigail?
Yes, Father Francis.
And Jameson?
Yes, Father Francis.
Ada.
Yes, Father Francis.
And Eleanor.
Yes, Father Francis.
I think I got it. And then we're missing the Frankinis, right? We're almost all here. All right. So last week, we looked at what the old Mass and the new Mass have in common, right? Tell me what you remember, what you learned from that class last week. Ada.
I learned the definition of the Mass.
Whoa.
Sacrifice of Jesus' body at Calvary in obedience to his Father's will as high priest, your priest, for the glory of God and the salvation of souls.
Excellent. I am really happy. I mean, that would be the thing to learn from, you know, last week. Can anybody else do that definition? Oh, we got several. Oh, yes. Olivia, go. And it's Karina, right? Did you have your hand up?
No.
Okay. Who else? Andrew?
The definition of Mass is Jesus' death of Jesus' body at Calvary in obedience to his Father's will as high priest through priest for the glory of God and the salvation.
Okay. I prefer the word sacrifice, but yeah, I mean, he did die, obviously. No, I prefer the word sacrifice. Joseph, go ahead.
The definition of the Mass is the sacrifice of Jesus' body at Calvary for obedience to his Father's will as high priest through a priest for the glory of God and salvation of souls.
Anybody else? Eleanor?
The definition of the Mass is the sacrifice of Jesus' body at Calvary in obedience to his Father's will as high priest through a priest for the glory of God and the salvation of souls.
And Sophia? You can read and print, huh? You can do that. Okay, good. Okay, Josie. Say that again. You what? Start. The sacrifice?
The sacrifice of Jesus in the Mass is when he sacrifices himself for the obedience of his Father and high priest and his salvation.
You got some of the ideas. The Last Supper, was that a Mass?
Yes.
Yes, Father. Yes, Father Francis.
It was? Joseph.
It's just the liturgy of the Eucharist service.
Well, yeah, the liturgy of the word in John's Gospel during the Last Supper. That would be the liturgy of the word. Yes.
It wasn't a Mass because Jesus hadn't offered his
It wasn't finished, right? It would be finished on Friday. In the Greek, Luke's Gospel in the Greek, it's not future tense. Okay? In the Latin and the English, it's future tense. This is my body, which will be given. This is my the chalice of my blood, which will be shed. It's future. But in Luke's gospel, in the Greek, it's present tense. Jesus is saying this is a sacrifice, huh? It is, this is my body which is being given. This is the chalice of my, the chalice of my blood which is being shed. It's in the process of being shed. Okay, Jesus saw this, I mean Protestants don't, but Jesus saw this as a sacrifice. He spoke of it as a sacrifice. See why it's good to know biblical languages. Okay, Protestants are out of the loop on this. They insist that it's not a sacrifice, but if they knew Greek, they would see it for themselves in the Bible, that this is a sacrifice. Okay, I'm still asking the question, was it a sacrifice? What was that, a mass? I'm looking for one thing here.
Yes, Father Francis, because the Bible says it was the first mass.
There's no word mass in the Bible.
I think in the same way we can participate in it today, even though it happened 2,000 years ago, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross is time. It's not bound, it's timeless. So could you still participate in it? It's in the same way that Mary was free from original sin, even though Jesus had died.
Okay, I'm looking for one thing here in this definition. It's the third sentence. Remember that's the third line in this definition. The third line in this definition.
It says that it's the high priest
through a priest. Was there some other priest?
No.
So in that way, it doesn't quite the Last Supper doesn't quite fit the definition. It was offered by the high priest, Jesus Christ, but not through a priest. Every Mass since the Last Supper, it's been through a priest. Okay, what else did you learn for, yes? What's that?
The road to Emmaus.
If you leave out, you know, through a priest, then the Last Supper was a mass, okay? But if you put that, you know, through a priest, then the road to, well, there was no through a priest at the road to Emmaus.
Right.
It depends whether you put, you know, through a priest in there. Okay? You could say the Last Supper is the first Mass. If you don't have in the definition, though, through a priest. And same with the road to Emmaus. The first Mass you have in the Bible where it's done through a priest, that would be St. Paul. In Acts chapter 20, that would be the first Mass. The second story, the guy that fell out the window. Remember that? Yeah, so don't fall asleep during homilies. Okay, someone else tell me what they learned from last week. Mary.
The definition of man is a being composed of body and soul created by God and destined for God, and that our purpose is to achieve the beatific vision, which is seeing God face to face.
There you go. Yeah. The body and he has a body and a soul. He came from God. That's his origin. And his end is God. Okay, good. I'm pleased you guys are looking good. You've been looking good since class started. We're going to move on. We've got to cover all this And I'm not sure how long that's going to take, so I'm prepared to start next week's class, week four, if we get that far. Next week's class is loaded. It's twice as much information as this class, so I don't know how far we're going to get. Week three. So last week was what they have in common. Now we're going to spend a few weeks on the differences. Starting before we even get to the Mass, before we compare the old Mass with the new Mass, we're going to look at the liturgical year. Okay? And the liturgical year can be divided between the four seasons and the rest of the year, which is not those four seasons. Now with Advent, the Old Mass and the New Mass, I think, are the same. Does anybody see any difference? I don't think there is. Okay. It's almost 4 weeks, maybe 3.5 weeks. Of Advent for both. In fact, there's not much difference between the two masses in these four seasons, but there are some little differences. For Christmas, it ends 8 days after Christmas, the octave of Christmas, January 1st, Holy Day of Obligation. For those that attend the 1962 Mass, okay? That's the last day of the Christmas season, so it's only those 8 days, and then it's over, it's gone. Now, in the new Mass, it's longer, all right? Maybe by another week, it's hard to say, but it's gonna end on a Monday. This coming liturgical year, Epiphany is going to be on the 6th of January for the Old Mass and the New Mass. It falls on a Sunday. That only happens like 1/7. Of the time, okay? And so I think it's going to be the day after Epiphany you'll have the feast in the new Mass, the baptism of the Lord. That's the last day of the Christmas season for the new Mass, okay? So the old Mass ends January 1st, and the new Mass ends on the baptism of the Lord. Lent. How many days are there in Lent?
42.
Joseph?
40.
40, okay. Yeah, because Jesus fasted and prayed for 40 days. Moses was on top of Mount Sinai for 40 days.
And the Jews were stuck in the desert for 40 years.
If you count how many days it is from Ash Wednesday to the Vigil of Easter, how many days is that?
It's like 45.
46, right? Those 6 extra days are what?
Sundays.
Sundays. Are those days of Lent? No. No, you don't fast on Sunday. You never fast on Sunday. Okay, that's always a feast day, a solemnity, a day of joy. It's a little taste of Easter. Okay, so yeah, there's 40 days of Lent. Now, in the old Mass, you're fasting 6 days a week, as far as I know. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. In the new Mass, you got it easy. Hardly any fasting. You only have one fast? That's on Good Friday. Oh man, what a joke. But on Fridays, it's abstinence. Okay, so you want the easy way, you go with the new mass. If you want it, you know, the hard way, the where you lose weight and you feel lousy, then you go with the old mass. So that's Lent. Whoops. I made a mistake.
This is so bad.
Something else about Lent in the two calendars, liturgical calendars. In the 1962 Mass, Passion Week is 1 week, followed by another week, Holy Week. That's 2 weeks. But in the new Mass, both of those weeks are 1 week. Passion Week and Holy Week, that's the same thing in the new Mass. Palm Sunday, that starts Holy Week, that's Passion Week. Easter, 50 days, right? It ends on what day?
Pentecost,
50th, the 50th day. It's a Greek word, and there's a Jewish feast, Pentecost. There's a Christian feast, Pentecost, and a Jewish feast, Pentecost. Okay, so Advent's the same. I think Easter's the same. Yeah, so I guess the biggest difference would be Lent. Any questions about this, the four seasons? We can move into the non-seasonal weeks. That's most of the year. Now, how are those divided? In the old Mass, it's in relation to a big feast, like Epiphany or Easter, you know, the Sunday after... The second Sunday after Epiphany, or the fourth Sunday after Easter, the 27th Sunday after Pentecost. Okay, that's the old Mass. There's also, you know, the Ascension, you know, one Sunday after the Ascension. But it's more simple in the new Mass. It's the first week of ordinary time, or the second or the third, fourth. That's around, you know, between Christmas and Lent. But most of the weeks in ordinary time are going to be after Pentecost. So, in the old Mass, where are they now? It's like this. Something Sunday after Pentecost. Right. You know, that's in a few months away. Any questions about this? We can go into this. In the old Mass, there's two extra holy days of obligation. We priests need to know that here, because we have the old Mass and the new Mass. So, if you're in the new Mass, January 1st, that's for us, that's the feast of the Solemnity of the Mother of God, but it's not a holy day of obligation. But if you're into the old Mass, if you miss Mass, then you got to go to confession. And that's the case with Ascension. The new Mass, old Mass, both celebrate Ascension. But in the old Mass, it's on a Thursday. That's when Jesus went up to heaven. There's no Ascension Sunday. You know, Jesus went up on Thursday. So this, they're being sticklers, you know. It's, he went up on Thursday, we're going to celebrate it on Thursday. So it's a holy day of obligation. Good I word, yeah, tough. You'll see in the confessional then, okay? But in the new Mass, you celebrate Ascension on Sunday. So we have to go to confession. Any questions about that? You can tell this, the old Mass is even tougher, huh? Tougher to live, especially Lent. Lent and these holy days of obligation. I'll just tell you, I do not like having two calendars. We're not on the same page. We're not on the same page. Okay? To me, that's got to be changed. Okay, we'll see that more next week with all these feast days. It's so, so different between the two calendars. Feast days that have been eliminated, added, rearranged, so you have the feast day of so-and-so on this day, but in the other calendar, it's a whole different month, day.
So, is it some people still follow the old Mass calendar, or some people still follow the
Mass calendar? In our sacristy, we have both calendars. So, like recently, on the 17th of September, in the new calendar, it was the Feast of St. Robert Bellarmine. In the old calendar, I like this better, huh? The Feast of the Stigmata of St. Francis. This Sunday is the Feast of, well, it'll be the Feast of Padre Pio, St. Pio. He had the stigmata. So it's good that you have those two stigmatists together in the same month, September. Two different, completely different calendars. I don't like it. We're not on the same page. I hate it. Okay, rank. In the old calendar, you have feasts that are first class, second class, or third class. You have the high Mass, you have the low Mass. In the new Mass, you got four different types of Mass. You got the optional memorial. It's up to the priest. Like the Holy Name of Mary. I had three Masses that day. The first two morning Masses, I wore green. There is no Feast of the Holy Name. It was optional. And then for the evening Mass, I wore white. I celebrated the Holy Name. Okay, so even I celebrated two different ones, okay? But it's optional, it's up to the priest, whether he wants to celebrate that feast or not. And then there's the memorial, the priest has to say that Mass for that saint. And then there's the feast. Okay, so we got two different meanings of feasts. We have the strict meaning of feast, it's one of these four, but then we have a broad understanding of feast. A feast could be an optional memorial, it could be a memorial, it could be a feast, or a solemnity. Okay, so it's broad, it has a broad meaning and a strict meaning. It depends on how you're using it. And then the highest kind of feast would be the solemnity. Okay. Every Sunday is a solemnity. Okay, it's the most solemn, though. You have the Creed, the Gloria, you sing, you could have incense. So, two different ways of ranking the Mass. Any questions about any of this so far? Okay, octaves. In 1954, Pope Pius XII wiped out a bunch of octaves. There were 15 octaves before 1954. This is like 9 years before Vatican II. He said it's too much. It's like more than one octave per month. It's out of control. And so he greatly reduced the octaves from 15 to 3. And then Pope Paul VI in 1960, again before Vatican II, confirmed that. Okay. Now, that got changed with the 1970 calendar. It bumped off the octave of Pentecost. In the old Mass, Easter ends on Pentecost, but then you have a whole week, an octave of Pentecost. I like that idea. I'm slow, so I would have more time to just wallow in the mystery of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, two octaves in the new Mass, that's all. 8 days. Ever days never was part of my vocabulary growing up. Didn't have a clue about Ember Days. Still don't know much about them. Ember Days are fast days on Wednesdays, Fridays, Saturdays. Four times a year. Okay, so December 13th, the Feast of St. Lucy. After that, you have Ember Days. And then the Sunday after Ash Wednesday, you have Ember Days. And then June, I don't know why June, sometime in June you got Ember Days. And then September, right around the Triumph of the Cross, September 14th. So when St. Francis was praying for 40 days by himself, that was during the Ember Days. Fasting for various reasons. It's something that was in the early church. In the first few hundred years, they had Ember Days. But with the new calendar, there's no sign of Ember Days, at least in the United States. Maybe in other countries they got it, I don't know. It's up to our American bishops what they want to do with Ember Days. But as far as I know, our American bishops have nothing to do with Ember Days. We seem to be allergic to fasting out here in the United States. We like the soft, comfy life. Only one fast a year in the new calendar. That's pretty pathetic. Pretty pathetic. Any questions about this? Yes.
Is there any way to distinguish the new calendars?
I'm doing that. That's what I'm doing. These are differences. You want to start with this? Yes?
I do want to. You said there's only one fast day, that's on Good Friday. What about Ash Wednesday?
Oh. Yeah, that is. You're right. Thank you. Ash Wednesday is a day of fasting. So two. Pretty heavy duty, huh? I don't know if you can make it. For me, I don't go by church calendar fasting. My fasting is when I bicycle. I always have one less meal. I usually have like one or two meals a day. It's just centered around cycling. That's my fasting. Want to go into some of this? Okay. So week four, we're still in the liturgical year, but the key word here is feast. The difference between the Old Mass, New Mass, regarding feast days. It's huge. It's so different. So different. And this is just to be, this is like the first half of the 1970 editions. The new Mass added all these saints and more. Well, there's saints in Europe and Africa and something else. Okay, so if you're in the old Mass, you don't have these American saints. You're missing 8 saints, American saints. You're missing a saint in Canada, some in Mexico, and South America. Okay. The old calendar is so super European. Okay, but the new Mass is more universal. All right. Okay, now I didn't have time to write out all these names. I had room to put down the one from Canada, Saint Andre Bessette, a religious brother devoted to Saint Joseph and an instrument of a ton of miracles. Okay, it's quite a story.
Is it
Epiphany
on January 6th?
Hmm?
I think it's January
6th. Okay, good question, good question. In the old calendar, it's on January 6th. In the new calendar, it's going to be on a Sunday. On a Sunday. Okay. It may be before the 6th. Chances are it's going to be after the 6th. And that's part of the Christmas season. In the old calendar, Epiphany is not part of Christmas. In the new calendar, it is. Okay, because in the old calendar, it ends on the 1st of January. Now look at it. In the United States of America, you got 8 saints that are celebrated in the new calendar. 3 of them are in January, the 4th and the 5th and the 23rd. Plus you got the Canada one too. So 4, 5, 6 in the Americas, all in a row. And then you got 2 from two in October. So that's 5 out of 8. That are celebrated in 2 months. Okay. So on January 4th, what's the name of this saint? Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton. We all know and love her, huh? The patroness, unofficially, of homeschooling. Okay, she homeschooled her children and taught other children. And she's like the mother of parochial schools, very much into schools, okay? Homeschooling and parochial schools. January 5th, this is a tougher one. What saint is this?
Is it a John?
John. Nepomucene. There's a St. John Nepomucene in Europe, Eastern Europe. He's named after that saint. What's his last name? Not Newman. That's the English saint.
Neumann.
St. John Nepomucene Neumann, the day after this feast. And he was the Bishop of Philadelphia. They worked together a bit. Okay. They lived at the same time. This is a tough one, January 23rd. First and last name. Who is this? Is a recent saint on the calendar. I think it's who I'm thinking of. and she is connected with him. If I remember this, yes?
Is it St. Mary Ann Cope?
Yes. What does she have in common with him?
Didn't she work with the lepers?
Yes, in Molokai. Huh? So who's this? St. Damien de Wooster. From what, Belgium?
Yeah.
And he died of leprosy. She was with the lepers much longer than he was, and she never got it. That's a semi-miracle, working with the lepers and never getting leprosy. Okay, an amazing thing. Okay, March 3rd.
Catherine Drexel.
Do you remember anything about her? She and her dad was, yes?
The Catherine Drexel went to the time.
We'll come back to you.
She was the daughter of a really rich guy, I think he liked.
Baker.
And she became a missionary and went west.
Yeah. She inherited most of his money, you know, tons of money. She had gone to see the Pope and said, you know, a friend of mine, he was hoping that you could send missionaries to this state to do missionary work. And the Pope said, well, why don't you do that? So she became a missionary. And she used, yes?
She was also one of the enemies of the Ku Klux Klan.
Mm-hmm. Because she served the blacks and the Indians, right? Okay. So we got this, so we're over here. Who's this?
St.
Kateri Tekakwitha, an Indian. Okay. We have St. Isaac Jogues and his companions on both calendars, okay? That's pretty old. But she's the newer one. This is maybe the toughest one right here. No way. Xavier? St. Francis Xavier? What's the S? We have St. Francis Xavier Cabrini. She's on both calendars.
Sales?
You remember that? We had that in this class when we talked about American saints, right? And do you remember anything about him? I know. Does anybody remember anything about him? I'm impressed.
Wasn't he the person that missionary to the Flathead Indians?
Was he? You could fool me. You can just make something up and...
He invented the television.
Okay. Who's this? This is a long one. She's not a saint, she's a blessing. M. Marie. R. The flower. Rose, right?
Yeah.
What's the rest of it? It's a French word, and those are always tough ones to figure out. I think it's du Rocher. Okay, so there we go. That's none of this is in the new, the old mass. Nothing. So that's sad. Let's go into Mexico. Saint Christopher Magallanes and his companions. Okay, and blessed, who's this?
Miguel Pro.
Yes, blessed Miguel Pro. What do these two have in common, these two feasts? They're Mexican martyrs, right? During what time period? What's this called? The Mexican
Revolution.
Yeah, and Mexican, if you're a Catholic, it's the Mexican persecution, right? Okay, it's pretty nasty. Terrible persecution. Remember I told you that we have a patron saint of for pro-cyclists? We have a saint who was a pro-cyclist. Who is that? Just said it. A saint who was a pro-cyclist. Miguel Pro. He was a pro-cyclist. He rode a bike, not the collar. He didn't identify himself as a priest because he would have been arrested, put in jail, and killed. But he would just wear regular street clothes, bicycle right past a policeman, go into someone's home, say mass illegally, and just bicycle, you know, back to where he had come from, waving to the police, and the police could never figure out, you know, how did they end up having mass? We never saw the priest go in or out. That was him. Okay. Pretty cool. Now, who's this? Everybody?
San Juan Diego,
right? Now, on both calendars, December 12th, you have Our Lady of Guadalupe, but only on the new calendar you have the Feast of Juan Diego. All right. And then South America, in Lima, Peru, you have this guy's name of Mongrovejo. What's his first name? Toribius. Toribius. One of five saints in Lima, Peru, who all knew each other. They were contemporaries. Okay. St. Rose of Lima. May have been, I think she was the first saint canonized in the Americas. Is that right? I think so. Okay, so none of these are in the old Mass. And look at the Far East. Now, the Japanese martyrs, there's two different feasts. You have St. Paul Miki, and this means his companions. Okay? And then in September 28, St. Lawrence Ruiz and his companions. Those are all Japanese martyrs. Who's the one that we should know that was martyred along one of the companions during this martyrdom? He was from Mexico, but he was a missionary in Japan, one of the martyrs, Saint Felipe de Jesus. Let me take a look at that. First martyr of the Americas, even before St. Isaac Jobs. How about that? Okay, so these Japanese martyrs for St. Paul Miki and his companions, there were 25 of them. And then September 8th, St. Lawrence Ruiz and companions, there were 16 of those. Obviously, there was more, but these are the ones we have information about. Okay. We have a few St. Andrews, right? Andre Bisset, that means Andrew. St. Andrew the Apostle. We have St. Andrews from the Far East. One in Korea and one in Vietnam. One of our priests, our Norbertine priest, he's from Vietnam, one of the boat people. He was, they had a lot of people on their little boat, and so it was kind of slow moving, too many people. And twice they were attacked by pirates who took everything they had, including their oars. They could not row. They were in the middle of the sea and no way to move. It looked like they were all going to die. And he prayed that if they were saved, he would become a priest. Okay? He has the name Andrew, but it's not the Vietnamese Andrew. It's the Korean Andrew. I don't know how that happened. And that's the religious name we gave him. You would think he would want the Vietnamese Andrew. Should ask him about that. Why'd you get the Korean Andrew? You're Vietnamese, huh? Okay. Whose feast day is it today? Just look at this. Yeah, it's right here, September 20th. The Korean Andrew, okay. Okay. How many of those? 103 Koreans martyred. Yes.
Are these all fairly recent?
Well, yeah, they're on the new calendar, not the old.
Are they all recent saints?
Since 1970. Or after. No, I mean after 1970. Even though this goes back hundreds of years. Okay. And China. Let's see, let's go Vietnam. Vietnam, 117 martyrs. So lots from Korea, lots from Vietnam, in China, 120. Okay, so it's Japan, there weren't so many, but that was, several of them were crucified. The Japanese, several of the Japanese martyrs were crucified. That's pretty, that's a terrible way to die. Although it's like how Jesus died. And then, let's see, where did it go? China. Augustine, Zhao O, Rong, and his companions. How many of those? Yeah, 120. Okay, so there you go. Those are the saints on the calendar, all from the Far East. The new calendar, not the old. We'll stop here. Next week we'll continue this. We'll continue week 4. It's a lot of information. I don't expect you to take in, a fourth of this. But just take in what you're interested in. Okay? Take in what you're interested in. Yes?
What European saints are...
Well, that's next week. Next week. Class is just about over. Yes?
October 5th is St. Teresa's feast day today.
We have October 1st, St. Therese of Lisieux. October 15th is St. Teresa of Avila. And you're saying the 5th? There's another. Benedicta? That's next week. That's next week. We'll talk about the World War II martyrs, huh? Next week. That'd be Europe. Okay, any questions about what's here? Not next week, but anything here? Okay, good class. Smart. Great. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for a wonderful start of this new year. Help us to better know and love the Mass, to appreciate the old and the new. the Mass throughout the centuries, this many, many changes. Help us to live the Mass. Not just know it and love it, but to live the Mass. We ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Oh yeah, put your chairs back.